Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for September 24th of 2023, and Microsoft just had its biggest week of leaks ever. We're talking about a new Xbox coming potentially next year, a new Xbox controller design, and even a shift to a cloud hybrid console that could come as soon as 2028. The news just keeps on coming. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Now, before we get into the news itself, I want to start off with Phil Spencer's statement to not only his team at Xbox, but also to the people of Twitter, because when the leaks broke earlier this week, it was all over Twitter immediately. I think I woke up Tuesday morning and it was just everywhere on my timeline. And that's an unfortunate situation to be in. I put it on my Twitter timeline that if we stick our heads in the sand as the gaming news community and as people who want to play and talk about games, we are neglecting the fact that this information is out there. That's not the way to go about it. As much as I hate seeing hard work go to waste or get spoiled like this, we still have to talk about it. We've still got to make videos on it. We've still got to break down the news. In the same breath, man, this was an exciting week. Like, I love talking about this stuff because this shows you a look behind the curtain. The same thing we've been seeing with all of these emails, these letters and things over the course of the past few weeks. But Phil Spencer replied, starting off with the Twitter public reply. We've seen the conversation around old emails and documents. It is hard to see our team's work shared in this way because so much has changed, and there is so much to be excited about right now and in the future. We will share the real plans when we are ready. Now, the full message to his team at Xbox reads, "Team, today several documents submitted in the court proceedings related to our proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard were unintentionally disclosed. I know this is disappointing, even if many of the documents are well over a year old and our plans have evolved. I also know we all take the confidentiality of our plans and our partners' information very seriously. This leak obviously is not us living up to that expectation. We will learn from what happened and be better going forward. We all put incredible amounts of passion and energy into our work, and this is never how we want that hard work to be shared with the community. That said, there is so much more to be excited about, and when we are ready, we'll share the real plans with our players. In closing, I appreciate all of the work that you pour into Team Xbox to surprise and delight our players. In the days and weeks ahead, let's stay focused on what we can control, continuing the amazing success of Starfield, the upcoming launch of the incredible and accessible Forza Motorsport, and continuing to build games, services, and devices that millions of players can enjoy." Signed, Phil. So there's your two statements, the public one to Twitter and the private one to his team at Xbox, which he knew was going to go public and obviously get read on shows like this. That's how this kind of thing works. So what exactly leaked? Let's start getting into it itself. This is Microsoft's next Xbox Series X, and this is an all-digital console. This is the equivalent of a digital Xbox Series X that is comparable to what the Xbox Series S brings. This is not, by any means, a mid-generation refresh. This is just straight up an Xbox Series X without the disk drive and a couple of other improvements as well. And we can see some of the bullet points that are mentioned here on the slide that was leaked. It's got 4K Gen 9 console gaming that has all of the bells and whistles of the Xbox Series X. They say a beautiful and innovative new design, more internal storage for games with a 2 terabyte storage, USB-C port on the front with power delivery, and an all-new, more immersive controller, which is Project Sebel. We'll talk about that more in a moment, and the same great price at $499. It's also got a couple of new updated technologies. They say it's got an all-new South Bridge to modernize I/O and sustainability efforts, Wi-Fi 6E radio for better throughput, latency and interference mitigation, Bluetooth 5.2 radio for improved accessory experiences, and a 6-nanometer die shrink for improved efficiency, once again contributing to that sustainability story. But then we have the new controller as well. This is Project Sebel, the world's best controller, as they describe it, and now playing on a screen near you. And we'll open up this just to get a better look as well. This is much more intriguing to me than the updated Xbox Series X. This has the potential to have a very big impact, especially if Microsoft is still focused, as much as they had been, on cloud gaming, because underneath bullet point number 2 on the Play Anywhere section of this slide, we have direct-to-cloud connectivity. This is something that Google Stadia had touted as one of the big technologies driving the experience they had with their players, where that latency factor was much less prevalent for Google Stadia players with the Stadia controller, because the controller itself connects directly to the cloud and transmits that data without having to go through a third party and then redirect to a server. So it's much more accurate in terms of your gaming experience. You don't have that latency. So whenever you're playing a game like a competitive shooter or maybe a fighting game, you feel like you're playing on a console more as compared to, or more than compared to, a Bluetooth controller hooked up to a PC or a phone. That sounds very exciting if the technology on the back end is there to support the technology that's in the hands. It's a two-way street with that, so time will tell if that's actually going to work out. They also say it's got new mobile app features with a C-pair devices and cloud and manage devices and accessories option. So if you're switching back and forth between multiple different devices, it's going to make that easier. It also says do good, feel good, rechargeable and swappable battery. No more AA batteries baked into this premium controller that they're entering into the market. Recycle materials and less resin, repair and disassembly options as well, which is something Microsoft has been doing a lot of over the course of the past few months in particular, in terms of adding new parts to their website for you to just be able to go out and buy them versus having to send your stuff in for repair. They also say it has new modular thumbsticks, improved longevity, and continued build improvements. And speaking of the continued build improvements, they also added some more immersion features as well. It's got precision haptic feedback, presumably like what we have with the Nintendo Switch Joy-Con, or maybe more like the DualSense controller with the PlayStation 5. The VCA haptics double as speakers as well. It's got an accelerometer and quieter buttons and thumbsticks, so it's going to have more of a premium feel as compared to something like a regular Xbox controller, which can get pretty loud depending on how sensitive you are to that kind of device noise. Approachability is also mentioned here. It's got lift-to-wake functionality, so when you pick up the controller, it literally is going to wake up the Xbox, I suppose, if this is reading the way that it actually works. And then it's also got that familiar Xbox feel. It's got the same ergonomics as Merlin, which I would assume is the regular Xbox controller. It's got the same layout and activation forces, and it's also got different options as expected. So, it's coming to Xbox Design Lab. That's going to be featured in as well. Is this the final design? Time will tell. But if the speakers are also built into the grips themselves, I would assume that's kind of what we're seeing here, where the bottom section of the controller is more of a speaker. So it probably has a little bit of a different design compared to that regular Xbox Series S controller. Now, they write at The Verge, the new controller, codenamed Sebel, is set to be announced early next year for $69.99 and will include an accelerometer, which should let you merely lift it to wake the gamepad. It has a two-tone color scheme and will support direct connection to cloud, Bluetooth 5.2, and presumably updated wireless 2 connections. Microsoft also lists precision haptic feedback and VCA haptics, double as speakers, as specs for the controller, and it'll have quieter buttons, thumbsticks, rechargeable and swappable batteries, and modular thumbsticks. So the way that this is fitting into the structure right now is that for the new line of systems, this is effectively going to be your new controller. This is going to be the new base controller that comes with the Xbox Series X, at least with this digital edition. If this is true, if this is going to be packed in with the device that is going to be coming out to replace, or I suppose launch alongside, the Xbox Series X, that could lead to this being the controller that's bundled in with the regular Series X, the disc-based version. And time will tell if that's the case too. But now you're going to have three different SKUs of the Xbox Series X controllers, and really even four, if you factor in that the Xbox One controllers also still work on hardware that is in the current gen today with the Xbox Series X and S. So you'll have the base core Xbox controller, which is what I've got here, the regular one that comes with the S or the X today. Then you've got the Elite controllers, which are going to be on the high end, and then the premium lands somewhere in between, where it's got a couple of more bells and whistles, but it's not quite as basic as the low end. It's not quite as premium as the high end. It's just kind of in between. That's a weird setup. And then you have this speaker functionality. You've got the accelerometer functionality. Are developers baking this into their games? What are the benefits of going out and getting one of these controllers as compared to just picking up a regular Xbox Series S controller? That's what I want to know more of. And that's one of the reasons this kind of leak is really unfortunate, is because they don't have the bandwidth right now. They aren't ready to show you why you need to go out and buy one. Because I want to get one. I want to want one. But right now, I don't have any problems with this one or the 20th anniversary controller or the Lunar Shift controller that I've got now. I need to know why I need this, I suppose, besides the direct-to-cloud technology, which I think is really cool. But it's not something I need because I'm not that cloud guy. I don't need a direct connection to the cloud to enjoy my Xbox games because I just don't play my games like that 9 times out of 10. So that's what we've got there. And then alongside the Xbox Series X revision, there is also Elwood, which is another Xbox Series S, which bakes in some of those same features and improvements of the Xbox Series X revision into what looks to be a pretty standard Xbox Series S. It doesn't look like that design is changing too much overall. But then we have the timeline itself, and this shows you when you could expect to see this kind of thing. And again, these are old timelines, so time will really tell. We're talking about fiscal year 2024, which is what Xbox is currently in. So the Elwood 1TB launch, which is the Series S revision, should potentially happen at the end of next August. And then you're looking at a Brooklyn 2TB launch towards the end of October of next year before the holiday season, if that maintains the pace that this timeline expects them to be on. Now, they also say down here in the notes, the last chance Edith 512 gigabytes at $199 is a Black Friday offer before the end of life, which what that means is that in the fall of next year, as Black Friday approaches and the holiday season ramps up, you could be seeing the 512 regular Xbox Series S marked all the way down to $199, which would be a very good entry point, especially considering none of this is changing anything about your experience. You are still playing the same games. This is not a mid-generation upgrade with a Pro or anything of the sort. If you have an Xbox Series S today, if you have an Xbox Series X today, this is still the exact same experience, but you've just got more options if you do want to upgrade or you want the secondary console or you have a friend that hasn't gotten in at all. So that's your timeline right there. Wild, again, to see all of this stuff just leak out randomly on a Tuesday morning. Really, went, I think it was Monday night into Tuesday morning. Just some crazy stuff there. So that's your new hardware. That's what you're going to be looking at from Team Xbox for the next year and a half and change. And we'll see if all of that actually ends up happening. Out of all of that, the controller is the most exciting for me because I want to see what innovations come with that from the software side. Are games going to be leveraging that, or is it going to be mainly something that's more of a user experience with the lift-to-wake functionality and that kind of thing baked in? So we'll see how far they actually go. But beyond that, Microsoft's documents also showed what's coming potentially in 2028, which is a cloud hybrid computing console. Coming from The Verge once again, Microsoft's new diskless Xbox Series X is far from the only news that just leaked out of the FTC versus Microsoft case. The documents may also reveal Microsoft's far future plans for 2028, by which the company believed it would achieve full convergence of its cloud gaming platform and physical hardware to deliver cloud hybrid games. They write, quote, "Our vision, develop a next-generation hybrid game platform capable of leveraging the combined power of the client and cloud to deliver deeper immersion in entirely new classes of game experiences. Optimized for real-time gameplay and creators, we will enable new levels of performance beyond the capabilities of the current hardware alone." And here you have some of the specs that are expected. Now, this all could change. None of this is set in stone. As always, keep in mind, this is not definitive. But this has the potential to be very, very impressive. Even looking at some of the stuff that's listed right here as far as graphics innovation goes, they say next-gen DirectX ray tracing, dynamic global illumination, micropolygon rendering optimizations, machine learning-based super resolution, which is DLSS on the NVIDIA side, extensibility model for faster iteration and innovation, and a thin operating system so this could all run on $99 consumer hardware handheld devices. Lots to break down there, so let's back it up a minute. What is a cloud hybrid console? This isn't something that necessarily relies fully on the power of the cloud, but that when you are connected to the internet, that would make it run so much better, potentially, is the way this could go. Or it could be something that relies fully on being always connected, always online, and it streams data from Azure servers to make games look better than they've ever been. This could be very cool. Is the gaming community ready for this? Not right now, not in 2024. Infrastructure-wise, we are not ready for a fully always-online device. Even from the consumer point of view, it is still a foreign idea to always have this internet connection always on. Even though that is how 99% of us play, we don't like having that obligation. If the internet goes out, you can still play a game today. Looking at the Nintendo Switch, that's one of the biggest perks for me. I can throw that in a bag, take it on a plane. I don't need the internet to enjoy those games. Not that the Xbox is a one-to-one, side-by-side competitor to the Nintendo Switch, even if they might be for some of the games that are coming out today, but that's a big selling point for a lot of people, is not relying on that internet. And so I don't think we are ready for this, but the potential for it to be a game-changing experience, pun intended, is totally there, because we would no longer be relying on these iterative console generations that bring generational leaps every 10 years. You could have something that continually upgrades your experience just by server-side changes that are streaming that data into your living room, to your office, to wherever you might be playing your games. And then that same kind of experience could also transition over to the phone, to these $99 handheld devices that they talk about. You can have that shared experience because Xbox is a platform. It is a cloud hybrid platform, not just a console, not just a PC, not just cloud streaming. It's all of these meeting you wherever you might be. It's already kind of that today, but it seems like that's going to be a bigger part of their messaging if they continue this push after this leak has come out, because they say it's cohesive hybrid computing. And so getting back to the article itself, they talk more about a lot of different points, but they also show these slides that are showing the timeline Microsoft has as they lay out their innovations for the Xbox team. They had the DirectX back in 2001, the Digital Media Store, Kinect, game inputs for Xbox 360, the Game Pass DirectX innovation for Xbox One, Direct Storage, Project xCloud for the Xbox Series X, and then going into next gen, the Immersion Game and App Platform with cloud hybrid games. I like the idea. Once again, I just don't know if we're ready for it. And the question is, how much will it rely on the cloud? How will developers adapt to have games that rely on the cloud? Is it going to be something that still is just a feature that they don't really use? Is it going to be something that becomes foundational to the way that we expect games to be built? Is it going to be that thing that pushes us to that next generational leap? Or is it going to be something that's more iterative that people don't really feel compelled to use? And they've got a couple of more slides that show off additional timelines, things like that, key milestones, consumer devices, etc. But overall, this is the one that I am most cautious about, because I could easily see this being a repeat of what happened with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, where it is 2027, we are at Summer Game Fest, and Microsoft and PlayStation are about to announce their new hardware. They're about to go all out and show the world what they have coming. And Microsoft comes out the day before PlayStation, and they say, we're going all in on the cloud, we have hybrid gaming at the forefront, this is what the next generation of Xbox looks like, and it's pretty much the way the games look at that point in time. Why do I need one? Then PlayStation comes the next day. They talk about their next generation console, more powerful, etc., all of the bells and whistles, and they show off games. The games have to be there. If there is one thing I've learned from content creation through the years, it's that when you talk about the technology, people don't really care, at least not the large majority of people that are scrolling through gaming news sites every day. They might care, the gaming news people might care, but the general consumers, the general players, they just want the good games, and that is what Xbox still has to nail down. They are great as a technology and computing company. They've got to nail down the content, and they're working on it. 2024 is set to be a great year. We've already got Avowed on the way, Hellblade 2, plenty of others, even 2023. Barring Redfall, Starfield is great. Forza Motorsport looks beautiful, could be awesome. We'll see in a couple of weeks. 2028, though, they need to focus less on the technology and more on the experiences that that technology is going to be able to deliver, because that is what is going to end up selling consoles or subscriptions or whatever this cloud hybrid device looks like in the long run. But they've definitely got to keep that focus on content more than anything. But the good news is Bethesda has some really, really good games on the way, according to a leaked list. And this once again comes from The Verge, this time from Jay Peters, where they write, Microsoft documents leak new Bethesda games, including an Oblivion remaster. Now, we heard about that one a couple of weeks ago. I talked about it on the show as well. But getting into it, they say before it was acquired by Microsoft, ZeniMax Media, the parent company of studios like Bethesda Game Studios and id Software, was working on remasters of The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Fallout 3, and a new entry in the Doom franchise, according to new documents revealed as part of the FTC versus Microsoft investigation, case, whatever you want to call it. These games were included in a July 2020 presentation about the then potential ZeniMax acquisition. Unannounced games in the presentation include the Oblivion remaster, originally set for fiscal year 2022, Doom Year Zero and DLC for fiscal year 2023, and a second set of DLC in fiscal year 2024, the Fallout 3 remaster for fiscal year 2024, a sequel to Ghostwire Tokyo, fiscal year 2024, Dishonored 3 also for fiscal year 2024. There are also a number of titles for console, PC, without specific names, including the Indiana Jones game, which we have known about for a while and was originally scheduled for fiscal year 2022. There's one thing this list is showing, it's how far off these timelines were thrown. Project Kestrel for fiscal year 2023 and an expansion, fiscal year 2024. Project Platinum and a vaguely named licensed IP game. And there's the relevant slide if you do want to check it out. And they talk about a couple of predictions, things like that. I assume cost estimates as well. And just to clarify, they say at the end, these were estimates from 3 years ago. So the plans have changed and any of these games could have been canceled indefinitely. They could have been canceled entirely. Who knows where this list actually sits right now. But even just looking at them all laid out here, a new Doom game on the way. We know that's going to be coming. Would not be shocked to see Year Zero still the route they're going with that. Fallout 3 and Oblivion remasters would print money. The question is, how much have they been remastered? How much have they been remade? Who is working on these? Is it within Bethesda? I would assume so. Probably not outsourced, but this could be a published list. I don't know how they're breaking this down. A sequel to Ghostwire Tokyo. That is awesome to see. And if you haven't played Ghostwire Tokyo, you absolutely should. That was one of my favorite gaming experiences from this year when it came to Xbox earlier in the spring. Really enjoyed that one. Dishonored 3. I saw so many people pumped about the idea of a Dishonored 3, especially following Redfall. And what's shocking here is there is no Redfall sequel on the list. Obviously, this is years before it was even supposed to release, so it would be shocking for them to greenlight a sequel before the game itself actually came out. But it's safe to say we are not going to be seeing any more Redfall anytime soon. Then Indiana Jones, we've known about different projects, Project Kestrel, along with an expansion, Project Platinum, who knows what that kind of stuff is. And there was also another project on this list that I know I talked about with Kevin on the Project X Talk podcast. I think it was Project Hibiki, which was on the list here. That was actually Hi-Fi Rush that came out earlier this year. So that just shows how far back this list actually goes. This was before Hi-Fi Rush even had a public name that they were sharing within the company itself. So, once again, going back to the previous story, talking about cloud computing, hybrid technologies, all of that's well and good. These games get me more excited than anything about technology. I want to see what a new Doom game could look like with the power of the cloud combined with a really beefy console. Show me how good a Doom can look. That's what I want to see. How good can an Oblivion remaster really look? Does it need to look that good? I don't know. Also, where's Fallout New Vegas remastered, huh? Now that we've got the band back together, would love to see that. But that is beside the point. So, all things considered, that's pretty much the bulk of the Xbox news that leaked this week. I know it was a lot to take in, but what a wild week it was. I am exhausted from talking about Xbox this week, and that's on top of the fact that the CMA has revisited their revised plan for Ubisoft to take over streaming rights of the cloud licenses after they acquire Activision Blizzard, and it looks like the CMA is going to push this thing through. So in the course of 1 week, we have had hardware leaks, future plans leak, games leak, and the CMA has approved the Activision Blizzard It's been wild. So much Xbox news, but to round out today's show, we have a couple of celebrations to call out. First and foremost, Spider-Man 2 has gone gold, baby. We are gold, they write over at the Insomniac Games Twitter account. We're thrilled to share the news ahead of Spider-Man 2's PS5 launch on October the 20th, 2023, with a few words from the game's cast. And it is one of the game's cast yelling that they have gone gold into what looks like the New York Bay there. So it's got a name, Hudson Bay? Sounds right, sure. Spider-Man 2 has gone gold, so looking forward to seeing reviews on that one. it's about to sell so many consoles, man. That is going to absolutely be a mind-boggling success for Sony if the game is half as good as it looks. So we'll see what comes of that. And also talking about a mind-boggling success, Starfield Game writes on Twitter, thank you to more than 10 million Starfield explorers for creating the biggest launch in Bethesda history. 10 million people have played Starfield. And back to back, from the Gone Gold announcement from Insomniac for Spider-Man to the 10 million player mark for Starfield, it's been a crazy year for games, and they just keep on coming. We've gotten Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield, Spider-Man 2's on the way, Alan Wake 2 looks great, Mortal Kombat 1's getting great reviews. It's just been the best year in gaming history. I'm going to say it right now. I think this is it. I think this is the peak. This is the cream of the crop. This is better than 07. This is it. If you've got a video game console and you want to play a game, there is something new out there that is absolutely going to pique your interest. And if there's nothing new, the great games we've already got are continuing to get updates. It's just the year that keeps on giving. And Starfield's great. Spider-Man 2 looks beautiful. It's just a good time to be alive. It's a good time to enjoy games. And that wraps up today's show. If you're new here and you enjoy what you see or what you hear, hit that subscribe button on YouTube or add the show to your podcast feed of choice and get it delivered right to you every single Sunday right here on youtube.com/jampacksam and on podcast services around the world. Drop that like. Also, leave a rating on your podcast service if you wouldn't mind, because that absolutely helps out the show, and I love bringing it to you every single Sunday. But until next time, you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Keep enjoying a crazy fall of game releases, and I will see you on the next one.